الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض، ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters and mothers listening over receivers, if we look at our environment and the condition in which we live today, then it casts us into a state of melancholy, in a state of depression. Because if we look around us, we see so much of theft, hijackings, robberies, murders, corruption and bribery. A person, if he goes to his car, he does not know whether his car will be there or not, or whether a window will be broken, the radio will be stolen. When he goes home, he does not know whether his house will be in order, or somebody might have burgled inside, or perhaps there's some robbers waiting for him. A person goes to a shop and the same fear is there. There is so much of insecurity, instability. We do not even feel safe in our own homes. And if you look throughout, from the bottom till the top, bribery and corruption seems to be the norm. There is so much of greed and selfishness that even the layman will tell you that everybody seems to be hankering after wealth, only money, money. But we must understand, brothers, that conditions come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings down conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings down favorable conditions, conditions of peace, tranquility, stability, security, safety. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who also brings down adverse conditions. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a village. And although it's referring to a particular village, however, Mufassirin mentioned that this is a rule for any village, that if they will conduct themselves in a similar manner, then they must expect the same fate and same results. Allah ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً. Allah ta'ala says, He gives the example of a village, that this village had peace and tranquility. يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Their sustenance would come in abundance from all avenues. Easily the sustenance would reach them. But instead of appreciating the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says, what happened? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They did not appreciate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah ta'ala caused them to taste the garments of hunger and fear. They were gripped with fear and hunger. Why? Because of their own actions. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, in this ayat we see that's our first solution. That every single bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we have to appreciate that bounty. Appreciation of that bounty is not merely on the tongue. Appreciation of any bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this, that we use that bounty to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ni'mat and the bounty of eyes, if we will use our eyes to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in fact we are showing gratitude and appreciation for this ni'mat and this bounty of the eyes. And on the other hand, if we abuse our eyes, and we use our eyes to look at that which is haram for us to look at, then in fact we are showing ingratitude and not appreciating this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As our Hazrat always tells us, that appreciate even the smallest of bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you barakah in the large bounties. So many times in the morning when we go with a walk, when we walk with Hazrat Maulana, then many times you find a 1 cent, 2 cents, 5 cents lying on the floor. Hazrat will stop the entire crowd and instruct somebody to pick up that 1 cent and give it to some poor person. Because if you appreciate that 1 cent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you barakah in your wealth. And if you do not appreciate that 1 cent, then it can happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can snatch away everything. Our asatiza used to always tell us that when you're eating on the dastarkhan, if a few crumbs fall down, or even one crumb falls down of bread, then pick it up. Do not throw it away. Do not discard it. It has happened where people threw away food, few morsels, few grains of rice, who's going to eat it? They threw it away in the bin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, later in their life, they went through a stage where they did not have food in the house. But we do not realize it was not showing appreciation for that small bounty. We cannot even create one grain of rice, appreciate it. So therefore appreciation for every bounty is very, very essential. If we'll appreciate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will bring down conditions and bring barakah in our lives. Again, in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the tendencies of man, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Nabi to a nation, what happened? In Surah Araf, Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتْضَرَّعُونَ. Allah ta'ala says, whenever we sent a Nabi to any nation, then Allah ta'ala's system was this, that He would afflict those people with difficulties and hardships. But the reason for this was that they soften up and then they start accepting that Nabi. So then Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala changed those adverse conditions to favorable conditions. حَتَّى عَفَوْا, until they began to prosper. But again, instead of appreciating the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepting that Nabi and becoming more staunch in following that Nabi and obeying him, what they started saying? قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They said that our forefathers, they also went through difficult conditions and good conditions. So it's no proof that this is a Nabi. They also went through difficult conditions and good conditions. And they denied that Nabi. So Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala seized them suddenly. And they did not even realize. And then Allah Ta'ala says, and this is our lesson, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. That if any, the people of any village, or the people of the various villages, if they bring iman, وَاتَّقَوْا, and they adopt taqwa, Allah Ta'ala says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala will open for them multitudes of blessings from the skies and from the earth. But Allah Ta'ala says, what is the nature of man? وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. But he denies. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala then takes him to task on account of what he has earned. So therefore we can see that in this ayat, another solution is that iman, we have to believe firmly in what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had brought for us. And we have to adopt taqwa. Of course, this does not mean that any person who is going through some difficulty or some calamity, then it is some type of punishment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even tests his walis. But even there too, when a person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he is undergoing some form of test, then too he has to adopt taqwa and he has to adopt sabr. Allah Ta'ala says, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba in Kiram, that most definitely, most certainly you will be tested. فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. In your wealth and in yourselves. Mufassirin mentioned, how will a person be tested in his self? That means a person in terms of his health, he will be tested. Or he will be gripped by some fear or some worry or some harm to his close relatives. And Allah Ta'ala further says, وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You will most definitely hear from those people who were given the book before you. In other words, the Jews and Christians. And from the mushrikeen you will hear a lot of abuse, propaganda, lies, rumors. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, if you will make sabr and you will adopt taqwa, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ أَيْ الْأُمُورُ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي أَيْ يَعْزِمَهَا كُلُّ أَحَدٍ. Then it is, as Mufassirin explain it, it is from amongst those matters which are appropriate for every person to firmly hold onto it, to make a resolution to hold firmly onto it. And this is sabr and taqwa. So this taqwa, we can see it in various ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. Now, this taqwa is not only confined to huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we find many people, alhamdulillah, when it comes to ibadat, then to a great extent people are particular with regards to their salah, their zakah, huququl ibad, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adopting taqwa, Allah consciousness, fear of Allah when it comes to fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, when it comes to huququl ibad, there is a great deficiency. When it comes to the rights of our fellow people, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, then unfortunately there is a great deficiency. And today I wish to discuss from amongst huququl ibad, one very, very important right of our fellow brothers. And this is known as silatul rahim, maintaining family ties. Now this maintenance of family ties enjoys extraordinary importance in Islam. Once there was a young person and he went to the dars of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the lessons of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And when he sat down, before Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu could start, he mentioned and he made an announcement that anyone sitting here who has severed any family ties, if there is anyone sitting here who has severed any family ties, then please leave this gathering. This person, this young man, he realized that there was a certain aunt of his that was living nearby. He was not on speaking terms with her. So quietly he got up and he left the gathering and he went to his aunt and he asked her, begged her for forgiveness. She forgave him, but she said, now, why? She asked him the reason and he explained the reason. She said, go to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and ask him why. Why did he give it so much importance? Why did he leave all the major sins and focus on this aspect? Maintenance of family ties. This person went to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and asked him, inquired from him. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that on Thursday night, the actions of every believer are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the actions of that person, the good deeds of that person who had severed family ties are rejected. He said, because our dars is on a Thursday night, he said, therefore I feared that if there was any person sitting in this gathering who had severed family ties, I feared that because of him this entire gathering would have been deprived. That is why I asked him to leave this gathering. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that whoever wishes, whoever loves, that he must get barakah in his rizq. There must be blessing in his rizq. And his lifespan must be increased. Then فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمُ, let that person maintain family ties. And this maintenance of family ties rarely comes into effect when the ties have actually broken. That is the real test. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, that لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلْ بِالْمُكَافِي وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That a person who maintains family ties is not really that person who, if his family does some good to him, he does good to that person. If they don't do good, he does not do any good. But a person who truly maintains family ties is that person that if for any reason his family ties have broken, the gist of the hadith I'm giving you, that if for any reason his family ties have been broken, then he rejoins that family ties. That is a person who is truly maintaining family ties. So we find, respected elders and brothers, that unfortunately today, for very, very petty and trivial issues, we are breaking family ties. Family ties, as the ulama-i kiram have given the definition of what we mean by silatul rahim, and I found that very interesting, is that family ties and silatul rahim means this, the definition of it is politeness, kindness, and concern for all one's relatives, whether they are distant, whether they are corrupt, whether they are non-Muslim, or whether they are unappreciative. In other words, a person has to show kindness, he has to show politeness and concern for all his relatives, even though they are distant. And many people confine their relatives to merely their relatives, and they forget the relatives, the in-laws from the in-law side. Those are also relatives. So even though the relatives may be distant, kindness, politeness and concern for them, even though they are corrupt, even though they are non-Muslim, and even though they do not appreciate. Many people say, no, I try and maintain family ties, but then I give for them, they don't show any appreciation. No, we must do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then whether that person gets happy or he gets displeased, that is not of concern. We are concerned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with us. So of course it does not mean that we must sacrifice on our deen. We will not sacrifice our deen for that. But we will try in different ways to maintain family ties. One beautiful incident in the lives of the Sahaba and Kiram, which illustrates clearly how we should try our best to maintain family ties. We all know the incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu, known as Waqi'a Ifq, where certain allegations were made against Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. Amongst those people involved in the scandal was Hazrat Mistah bin Uthatha radiallahu anhu. He was a Sahabi, a Badri Sahabi, a Sahabi of a very, very high caliber. And we must not hold any bad opinions of any Sahabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes made the Sahaba in Kiram, cause them to make certain mistakes so that it becomes lessons for us. As one alim mentioned, it was as if the Sahaba in Kiram sacrificed their lives and their honor so that the entire ummah will benefit. Allah ta'ala thereafter announced the forgiveness of all the Sahaba in Kiram, where Allah ta'ala says, radiallahu anhum wa radu. Allah ta'ala is pleased with them and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Hazrat Mistah bin Uthatha radiallahu anhu was the maternal cousin of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And we all know it that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the father of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Now amongst those people who used to benefit from the generosity of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was Hazrat Mistah bin Uthatha radiallahu anhu, because he was not a very well-off sahabi, he was poor. And this scandal which took place, it lasted for one entire month. It was initiated by the leader of the Munafiqeen, and unfortunately certain Sahaba and Kiram also got involved. For one entire month, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had to go through torture and torment, suffering. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 10 verses proving the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And thereafter, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was very, very hurt by his cousin, by what he had done. Extremely hurt. He felt really betrayed. And thereafter he said, and he took a qasam, he made a vow. He said that I will never ever help this cousin of mine. And we would say he's justified in the pain that this person caused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses. وَلَا يَأْتَرِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَن يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala mentions that those people who have high rank and who are wealthy, they should not take an oath that they will not help their relatives and they will not help the poor people and those people who are making hijrat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, forgive and pardon. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you not love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive you? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah ta'ala is most forgiving. When Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard these verses, immediately he exclaimed, وَاللَّهُ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لِي. The qasam of Allah, I love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive me. It is mentioned in riwayat that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu did not only continue assisting financially this cousin of his, but in fact he doubled his assistance. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we can see that he had caused a certain amount of pain, and we would say he's justified But still he forgave. So what about issues which are so trivial and so petty? Shouldn't we therefore forgive? Therefore, respected elders and brothers, let us make a firm resolution here that after this talk we will go and we will try and patch up and make up with all our families. This is very, very essential. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, as I mentioned, given extraordinary importance to the maintenance of family ties. And this also falls under taqwa. Taqwa, as I mentioned, is essential in all our departments, whether it is the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the rights of our fellow. That is why, at the time of nikah, the verses which are recited, we will see that many, many of those verses contain taqwa. Why? That in fulfilling the rights between husband and wife, what is the thing that will cause us to fulfill the rights of each other? It is only the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةً وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And we hear this ayat over and over again. Taqwa is essential in every department of our lives, respected elders and brothers. Whether it is fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of our neighbors, the rights of our parents, the rights of our wives and children, or the rights of our family members. Therefore we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He unites our hearts, the hearts of husbands and wives, the hearts of brothers and sisters, the hearts of family members, and the hearts of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala grants us the ability to make shukr for every ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we will make shukr and we will adopt taqwa and iman, Allah ta'ala mentions, as I said in the beginning, Allah ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهَا لَلْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. If the people of the various villages bring iman and adopt taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah ta'ala will open for them multitudes of blessings from the skies and the earth. So if we want this peace, if we want security, if we want safety, if we want prosperity and happiness, then the only solution is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who brings down conditions. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to practice and make amal on whatever is said. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب